You know, the class is always going well when you walk in and drop your dick on the table.
Have a sex toy, we'll try it. Have a fetish, we'll try it. We masturbate and copulate to recreate and educate. We are the Trisexuals.
Hello and welcome. I'm Max Chameleon.
I'm Lily Chameleon.
And I'm Kit.
Well, Sexplorers, here we are. We're still on our every other week schedule. Pretty much, I've just been around the clock working on editing these podcasts. Very hard work. No, I'm kidding. It's a ton of fun. I'm really glad that we're releasing more frequently. I feel like I'm more in touch with you all, more at peace with the world. Don't you think, Lily?
Yeah, we just need peace, pussies, and dicks.
Whoa! All right, then. So, yeah, we got a pretty cool interview coming up. But first, you know, we got to start with that old classic, What's Playing? So, Kit, would you like to tell us what you've been working with?
I would. So, in celebration of our special guest this time, which is going to be Ashes from Kudu Voodoo, I pulled out my Laughing Dragon. And this is actually Laughing Dragon, like, 1.0. This is the original, like, hand-sculptured one before their shop went to 3D things. And so, in fact, this is actually when she was still on Etsy and doing that kind of stuff. And I remember seeing it at the time and being like, whoa, look at those scales. I have to have one. And so I got one, and I love it. Like, he's big and you know, he's big, thick, meaty guy, but now they make other sizes too, which is pretty awesome. And fun story about this one. So I was looking through her colors and I'm like, wow, she's got some beautiful things. I saw this, you know, example on her site that was like blue and orange, and I'm like, oh, that looks like sunset over the water. It's like, yeah, that's what I want for my dragon. So I ordered it and it got here, and I opened up the box and Mr. Kit was sitting there after we got the mail, and he looks at it and he goes, Denver Broncos, blue and orange. So that stuck, and this has become my Denver Broncos toy.
I love that.
Oh, that's amazing. But you know what, Kit? You know, the colors of the Laughing Dragon are really amazing. I mean, all the stuff that Ashes does is really amazing. And one thing that we know for sure on this podcast is that a Laughing Dragon is way better than an angry dragon.
No,
way
kidding.
Better. So, what I've been playing with is actually a little bit interesting. I've decided to raid Lily's collection of toys, and I stole this poor, helpless little pink Satisfier penguin, and I decided that I'm going to suffocate him with my little pansy pooper. So, it's a little bit strange, yes, but I wanted to try out one of these sucking-type toys that Satisfier does, and I tried it a little bit on the tip of my penis. It didn't really do too much. It was kind of surprising because, I mean, what's a penis but a big clit? It didn't really do too much for me there. Maybe it would do something for somebody else. But I was like, you know what? I'm going to try a little bit of penguin rimming. So I lubed it up a little bit and I put it on the back. And I have to say, it's actually quite enjoyable. I don't think I could get off entirely to that sort of sucking action back there, but it did feel kind of good and not too different from rimming. So,
know what I'm going to try.
Yeah. If you've not tried one of these toys, I'd be really curious to hear from anyone, actually, Kit, you especially. Try it out. Let me know what you think, because I was like, huh, this is pretty good. I think I like it. I'm curious if anyone else gets enjoyment out of it.
Hmm. Yeah. Going to try that out for sure.
All right, Lily, what have you
been
up?
Podcast over.
Excellent. Yeah, you got to punish that penguin, man. You got to put him right down there.
My poor little penguin.
Oh, yeah. Don't worry. I washed him. All right, Lily, what have you been grinding up against your genitals lately?
So I've actually been playing with the Satisfier Pro for couples. So far, that's been like one of my favorite toys right now. I absolutely love it. And then I just got the Fun Factory Stronic G that I've been playing with for a couple weeks now, and I've been quite enjoying it a lot. It's been hitting all the right spots for me.
Yeah, that's awesome. I really love those thrusting type toys. It's definitely unique. it is kind of interesting. It's one thing I forgot to mention in our last podcast. We did the unboxing with it, and I put two of the Stronic toys together. Mm-hmm. And there's actually an interaction between the magnets there. They actually kind of pull and tug on one another, which was a cool thing to see. I don't think it has any real sexual uses, but it was just an interesting thing. All right. Well, now let's go to our interview with Ashes of Kudu Voodoo. Hello, we're here with Ashes of Kudu Voodoo, or as we like to call her, the Kudu who do what you don't dare do, Kudu. A little bit of Prodigy reference there. So, Ashes, welcome to our show. I understand that you make fantasy sex toys, is that right?
I sure do. All day, every day.
All day, every day. Oh my God, dicks in and out, huh?
Oh, all the time. My whole life is dicks.
That doesn't sound so bad.
Nah, not actually. Too bad.
So before we go and jump on the dicks, let's we're going to ask you the typical trisexuals question. What is your favorite dessert?
Ooh, that is a hard one, but I'm probably going to have to go with just plain old vanilla ice cream on top of a warm brownie.
Ooh, oh my God, that sounds so good. Now I want brownies.
Can't argue the classics. You know, I think there is something to be said for like just getting back to the bare basics of dessert. When you start throwing on too many different flavors in there, it's too much. You get your vanilla bean, you get your chocolate, you're good to go. You know, it just occurred to me, that's two different beans, isn't it? You got your vanilla bean and your chocolate bean. Beans
it
for
is.
Dessert.
It is.
It just occurred to me. Crazy stuff. All right, someone help me out. Let's start with a question.
So, Kudu, how did you start?
Ooh, how did I start? So, this all kind of started because I wanted to make masks. So, it was like two totally different things. And I learned the mold-making process for mask making and making these crazy creature masks in college. And my professor was like, that's pretty cool. I've never really heard of this process that you want to do. So, he just kind of let me run free the entire semester, and I got a lot of ugly looks from all the other students that had to do actual projects while I got to run around doing whatever I wanted.
So to be clear, these are like silicone masks, like actual like movie quality prop masks,
actually,
right?
they're prop masks, but they're actually made out of resin. But I used the silicone molds to actually get that resin mask. So that's where I learned to do the glove mold process, which is what I use for all of my dicks. To me, it's the easiest process. Some people prefer the block mold, but I just have not perfected that, so I haven't touched that territory. I'm real comfy with my little glove molds, which is the difference between the two is a glove mold is a floppy, almost like a skin, so you can rip it off of the original model and turn it inside out, and it makes it easier for to kind of like clean it that first time. And to me, it just makes it easier to get the model out when you're pouring it. So that's what I started. I saw a tutorial on YouTube and I was like, I'm just going to do this, and wanted to make the masks. So I spent the entire semester doing that, and it was really fun. I really liked it. And then I was like, you know, I could make dicks with this.
Masked dick. Okay.
So... Yeah, so I'd been collecting for years. So at that point, I was really familiar with the fantasy dildos and all of that stuff. So my collection was pretty big at that point. And I was like, well, you know, I have all of the means to do this. I'm going to make it myself. So then it just kind of went from there.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was quite an adventure. And I actually did, at the end of the semester when we had to set up all of our works we'd done and we had the final critique, I had been pouring dicks already. So I brought in a bunch of dicks and laid them on the table and was like, oh, I did this as well.
You know, the class is always going well when you walk in and drop your dick on the table. That's yep. It's always a good way to go.
Well, I hope you got an A in that class then.
Oh yeah, I passed that class with flying colors. It was quite a trip.
With flying colorful dicks is the case, maybe.
Oh yeah, pretty sure I got quite the reputation for being the chick that just dropped a bunch of dicks on the table and was like, here it is.
So So do you, what are, what's the actual, the inspiration for the designs that goes into your toys? Like,
So all of my designs are actually based on characters that I've had for some time or that have been developed over the years. I'm a huge, like, I have all kinds of creatures and characters as an artist. I mean, that's what I went to school for, was actually, I have my BFA, so I spent a lot of time in art school making creatures, and so all of my dick designs are actually based on these creatures that have backstories and personalities and that have kind of been, you know, worked on here and there for quite some time. So it's kind of neat to, you know, work out that aspect of them.
Oh, very cool. So they're like creations of your own mind. And
oh, yeah.
They're like your, almost like your pet projects.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. I get to start by, you know, taking a creature that's either already there or something new that I want to start on, and then working up their personality, their story, kind of what makes them them, and then making them a dick. Yeah, it's really neat. It's kind of just one step further in making these beasts kind of real and tangible. So it's really kind of something I very much so enjoy.
Do you have a favorite character?
Oh, gosh, that is a super hard question. My favorite character is probably the kind of my mascot, who doesn't actually have a dildo or anything like that to go with her just yet. But Nicole is my kudu mascot, who's probably my favorite, which is kind of strange that I haven't, you know, made that for her yet. But it's getting there. She'll get there.
I'm kind of curious. What are you thinking with Nicole? Are you thinking maybe possibly a penetrable, or are you going to do maybe a kudu horn?
See, I hadn't decided. The kudu horn was an idea, and I do have several in my sketchbook, but I'm really, really trying to push toward penetrables, which is kind of something we've had in the works for a while now, and both me and my husband have been, who is my partner, he is the other half of Kudu Voodoo, which is kind of neat. So we are a double
husband
T. Yes, husband creature who slinks around the house, you know. Sometimes I see him, sometimes I don't. He's a mythical mythical beast. But he has been helping me kind of to figure out the dynamics of how we want to approach molding and printing penetrables. So those are definitely in the works. So expect to see those pretty soon.
Well, I'm excited about that. That's you know, that's my personal favorite type of toy. So,
oh yeah,
better keep us in the loop.
Oh yeah, husband is very excited about that. He's excited to get to be our tester. I'm like, I can't pour them all for you, honey. They're not all for you.
So does he do a lot of sculpturing too? And
he does, actually. So he is super artistic as well, and has been super, like, interested and excited about this entire thing, which is really neat. And the newest Laughing Dragon and I believe our Bat Egg were both sculpted by him. So the idea was made by me, and I did all the sketches and, of course, the original Laughing Dragon. But when we decided to bring it back, he was kind of like, well, you know, I could sculpt it if you wanted. And I was like, sure, go right ahead. So he kind of got to do that and bring it back to life, which was really neat. So he's actually got a couple of sculpts that are in our lineup, which is really fun. He really enjoys it as well.
Wow, that's so awesome.
So maybe you answered this already. So some of your dicks are sculpted, but some you're getting into 3D printing, right?
Right. So now our shop is 100% 3D printed. We don't have any clay models anymore. That's what we started with because that's what I was most comfortable with. All of the masks that I was making that I kind of learned on were all clay, which is a great medium for sculpting. It's super awesome. I know some makers still use clay, which is, I have the highest, like, regards for them, because it is a whole nother world. It is very finicky and time consuming. So,
yeah.
But we've kind of completely switched to 3D rendering everything. I really enjoy the 3D sculpting programs, and of course it's easier to do sizes. We don't have to spend as long making all of the sizes and all that stuff, because that takes some time if you're gonna attempt that in clay.
Yeah, I've always been curious about this. In clay, is it simply, if you want three different sizes, do you simply have to just hardcore go out there and make three different clay things and hope that they're pretty similar to one another? Or is there actually a process for, you know, I'm sure there might be some movie making process or something where they have like one model and they can make it in different sizes.
See, there might be a process, but as far as I know, everyone that is sculpting sizes is you just got to go all the way and you've got to do one after the other, which is why I'm like, wow, that is amazing. That is some serious dedication.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's never going to be exactly the same.
Yeah, it won't be, but man, do they get super close. So like New Folklore does all of their sizes by clay and they are crazy.
Wow.
Too many of the Sibyls, but they're fantastic and they have hand sculpted every single one of them. And the differences, I mean, you can't even tell looking at them in person. It's like, wow. Knowing that this is clay and that they hand sculpted each one of those is just mind blowing.
Wow. Yeah.
So I kind of got off the clay bandwagon pretty quick there. It was great for a learning tool for me, but the 3D sculpting on a computer program clicked way better for me. I was like, I'm going to go with this.
Once you go PLA, you can print dicks all day.
Oh, there we go.
That's fantastic. Oh, gosh. And we actually started with PLA. So PLA and ABS are different, too. So we are now doing ABS printing, which is a whole nother rodeo, as we have
Interesting. So as a 3D printer myself, usually people start with ABS.
Wait, you're a 3D printer?
Oh, Jesus.
I had
podcast
no idea,
is canceled. I mean, usually, like, people start off with ABS, and it's kind of, like, finicky and whatever, and they usually end up going to PLA. So you start with PLA, but you went to ABS. I'm kind of curious, what made you make that decision?
So PLA is great, and it prints really, really easy. You don't really have to babysit it a lot, which was nice. But when it came to preparing all of the 3D prints for processing, which is an entire thing in its own, because you have to smooth the toy and make sure it's all uniform and that you don't have any problem areas, because you know how printers can be. They're quite finicky. Mm-hmm. They have minds of their own, and sometimes you get some weird peanuts on it or some weird shelves, and you're like, I don't know why you did that, but okay, I gotta fix it. So PLA took us, I mean, our processing time for four sizes of one model was almost 2 months, which is quite a long time. And getting all of those sanded and ready for molding was just, oh my gosh, it was quite a lot. And so we decided we were going to go with ABS because you can actually do the vapor smoothing, which takes
away. Oh, you're doing the vapor bath.
Mm-hmm, vapor bath. So we have an entire setup with all these like fans and hoods and all different kinds of stuff down in the garage that we use for this actual smoothing of the models in ABS. And it has been a world of a difference.
Promise me you won't blow yourself up.
No.
that could be dangerous.
Luckily, Husband Creature is also a chemical man, so an engineer.
Oh, perfect.
So we promise we won't blow ourselves up.
Yeah, because I've heard, like, you can make, like, an ABS smoothing thing, like a vapor device or whatever, out of, like, a rice cooker or something, a pressure cooker like that.
Right.
But, I mean, that's just, like, you're just making a bomb at that point.
Yeah. There's a very specific way you have to do it to make sure that it is not a bomb and you're not going to blow up, you know, the garage. So he's got us on a great setup where everything is very safe, we promise.
I'm curious too about your coloring process, because your rainbows, like your midnight rainbow and your different various rainbows, they're so beautiful. Like, your colors are amazing. And did you learn that while you were making masks, or is that kind of unfolded as you've started the dick making process?
So I have to give a lot of the color the color learning process to I had to go through a grueling class called color theory in college, which was an entire semester of learning how colors operated together and cutting out tiny little pieces of paper that were colored and putting them together and seeing how they changed each other. If you had this color next to this color, then it made this color. And so that was something that I have to give credit to, how I use colors when I'm making dicks. So, if only.
Wow.
So it was a lot of that. And of course, with painting, and I use a lot of marker work. It all kind of filters into how I use the pigments that I'm working with now, and it's all kind of the same thing in a way. And just learning how they kind of mix together, and lots of experimentation. There have been some really ugly colors that have come out of this shop that I just kind of look at when I pull them and go, oh, you poor ugly thing. I really hope somebody wants you. So it's been a lot of learning, lots of experimentation, I would say. But I do have to credit some of that back to the color theory. At least it was good for something.
Well, especially in like the medium of silicone too, because some colors, like my understanding is, you know, it's almost like honey that you're pouring together and things mix and merge. And I mean, that's got to be crazy to just control that and try to get the effect that you imagine in your mind to actually come out into the real world.
Oh yeah, it is very much like pouring honey into a pot and hoping it comes out okay. So there's just all sorts of learning the different firmnesses. Oh, that makes a huge difference. The firmnesses are a big deal. Say, like, if you're pouring something in super soft and you want a really nice marble, you're probably going to have a hard time with that, because super soft just likes to melt into everything and just become a giant blob of whatever it wants to do. So it's kind of its own beast. But say with a medium firmness, that's much easier to control, and you can get some really, really nice marbles or, you know, splits and things like that. But then on the opposite thing, if you're looking for a nice fade, then some of the softer silicone works better, and the medium and the firm silicone is just, oh, it's a beast.
So you put so much time and thought into these. I mean, my God, like, how much time do you think from start to finish, from your idea of the concept to when you finally got a toy that you can hold, you know, how much time does it take to create some piece of art like this? Because that's really what it is art. Yeah,
these are artisan dildos. Like, there's no joke about it. It's incredible. And every piece is unique.
Oh, absolutely. No, you're totally correct. I just want a big museum with all of these artistic dildos.
A dick museum. I love it.
Well, you know, the nice thing about this medium, though, is like when an artist is creating art and they're doing a painting or something like that, and, you know, their main hope is that, will somebody get something out of this? Will somebody enjoy it? Right. You pretty much have that in the bag.
You are absolutely correct.
Yeah. They get to interact with that artwork and really feel your artistic expression.
Exactly. It's like on such a personal level. I absolutely adore it. Nothing makes me happier than when I get a, you know, an email back from a customer or a review or whatever, and they're like, this worked so great for me, and I'm just really stoked. The colors are great. And I just have this, you know, this little pride that I really, really enjoy that, because it has become so much more than just like a piece hanging on a wall. This has become something way beyond that, and that makes me very excited. But going back to the how long it takes, now that is a question in its own. So this model from creation, like from when I have the idea, which who knows when that is, but say for the our very first model we ever did was the Laughing Dragon, and it came into existence, then went out of existence and got remodeled. And so that took probably, I think it was a little over a year from start to finish for that to get to a point where I'm now happy with it and I am satisfied with it. And now it's its own standalone model and I don't want to tweak it anymore. Because a lot of times I'm like, oh, well, I like this idea, but I want to take it a little farther. Same thing with a lot of our models that first came out as our 3D printed models. We're redoing all of those. So now they're back into production. So something that was done is now come back and has to be reworked and things like that. So there's really no telling as to how long it might take from an idea that was scribbled down in my sketchbook real quick when I was like sitting on the back porch to a model that I'm completely satisfied with and don't want to change anymore. It could be months. It could be over a year. Who knows?
I'm just sculpting them alone probably takes plenty of time.
Oh,
too,
gosh,
you know, to, like,
yes.
Get it the way you want it.
Oh, yeah. It takes quite some time to get it sculpted and kind of figure out, like, do I think that this will work? I don't know. We're going to figure it out. And then there have been instances where we've sculpted something and then we started printing it and we figured out that it was really, really difficult to print. And we had to go back to the drawing board and redo the model and all sorts of stuff like that. So you run into just a whole world of problem solving things.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. And just all sorts of things. And you also run into the issue sometimes. You get done with a model, you've printed it, you've processed it, everything's good to go. And then you pour it and you realize that it is a booger to pour and it gets air bubbles and it's a whole thing. So then it's like, okay, time to go back to the drawing board. So
it's you have a lot of patience. That seems like maybe your number one skill here. Artists... oh my god, I can't. I'm ruining this podcast.
No, you're not.
Artistic expression and patience.
There you go.
There you go. Yay!
Do I get a cookie?
Oh, if I could shove cookies through my mic, I would.
Oh, I want cookies.
Oh, now that does sound great. Ooh, I should have had breakfast. But yes, it is quite the problem solving. And I think I really learned that type of patience from college. My primary media, I did sculpting and also traditional printmaking, which a lot of people don't actually know what traditional printmaking is, but it's like the grandfather of graphic design. So back when they didn't have computers to do typography and things like that, they had printmaking. So banknotes and, you know, notices and all were printed on these gigantic stones. So that's kind of what I did in college before, you know, I got into the dick making. That was my background. And printmaking is the worst. I don't know why I picked it. It is because I'm a crazy person, but it is super, super. I mean, if there's going to be something that's going to go wrong, it's going to happen. You just kind of learn that if you haven't cried in printmaking, then you're not doing it right. So same thing applies. If you haven't cried in dick making, you're not a real dick maker yet. So it is a lot of patience. It is a lot of understanding that things will not always go right. And you will have to figure out a whole mess of problems and just kind of keep rolling with it.
Out of the toys that you made, do you have a favorite, a personal favorite?
I actually do. So my by just favorite of them all, which is kind of strange because it was something that I really just made on a whim, is the Asethia, which I just re-released. She originally was the whatsamacallit because I had no idea what it was. I wanted, I was like, I have no idea what this thing is, so I'm just going to call it that. But she's actually kind of based on a tentacle that doesn't have any suction cups or a lot of texture. So that was kind of something that I wanted personally from a toy. Sure. And I have a ton of tentacle toys, let me tell you. And
tentacles for the win.
For real, I love tentacle toys. So I had quite a few of those and just felt like I didn't have one that didn't have a whole lot of texture, but still had that kind of wiggly curve sort of thing. So the original model had a lot to be desired, but, you know, it was what it was. And then I decided I wanted to totally redo her and make her something really neat. And we actually just released her mini and small sizes. So she doesn't have quite a full lineup of sizes right now, but they're actually printing right now in the other room.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, so we're really excited, but she's got to be my favorite. It's just a toy that, because, you know, as a dick maker, I get to, the first pour is always for me because I'm a little bit selfish.
Oh, okay. And it should be.
So
plus,
you
gotta test it.
Oh, exactly.
You gotta test it out before you give it to someone else. Hey, Sexplorers. I'm really excited to talk to you today about a truly exceptional sex toy shop, Vibrant. Located at bevibrant.com, Vibrant has a commitment to inclusivity with a sex-positive and education-forward approach. As the Trisexuals, we love to recommend Vibrant. We can be sure that each and every toy that they carry is of high quality and is 100% body safe. You simply can't go wrong. Vibrant is also backed by Planned Parenthood of the Rocky Mountains. How cool is that? As fans of the show, you'll receive 20% off your order at BeVibrant.com when using the code TRISEXUALS at checkout. That's TRYSEXUALS. That's BeVibrant.com and use the code TRISEXUALS at checkout to get 20% off your body-safe toys. Thank you to Vibrant for supporting the Trisexuals and making the sex-positive world a better place.
Do you have any, like, new exciting creatures that are sort of in the hopper that you haven't made yet, but they're kind of like a sneak peek of some upcoming new design you're working on?
Oh, I sure do. Because, well, she's actually very close to being released. We're just processing her. But we have a dragon that's coming up, and her name is Aerith. And it's not exactly what you think from a dragon. So she's going to be our first double shafted toy, so she'll have two shafts. So she's very fancy, and we're really excited about her. She's been in the works for probably since around December. I had the idea for her, but she's something that I haven't seen on the market, so I'm kind of really excited to kind of get her out there, and we're really working hard to get her ready for mold making and for pouring. She only has one size as of right now, but she's a pretty hefty toy. So we're going to see kind of the feedback we get on her, since it's kind of something that is pretty different from what we've seen. And then if she's really liked, we'll, of course, release sizes of her. So we're really stoked for her.
I can't wait to see the colors and everything.
Oh, it's going to be a great color option. She's got lots of scales and, you know, so, and we're hoping with the way that we sculpted her, we can have some colored eyes. So we'll be able to paint her eyes. Because she has eyes.
Wait, a dildo with eyes?
Mm-hmm. She's very interesting.
Wow, I can't wait to see this.
I can't wait to see that.
So you must use like a silicone paint or something. Is that right? Or,
so it's actually, it's the same silicone that we use for pouring. It's just a different way of applying it. So you can take a little bit if you make, you know, a little batch of it, and you can kind of paint it along the inside of the mold and get some really, really cool highlights and some painting techniques. So that's kind of the way we do it. And we're pretty open about all of that. We kind of have this motto where, you know, it's kind of nice to share sort of those techniques that we've used, because we had a lot of help in the beginning where a lot of other makers were super, super sweet to us. And we really loved the community and how helpful they were, because we all run into road bumps and we're kind of like, you know, you got to stick together as a community and kind of figure it all out together.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah. We almost got into this a little bit. Actually, I should say more Kit. She had done all the research and stuff on it and actually pouring a toy. And she ended up actually pouring a small little one for us, which was really awesome. I printed it. I sent her the print. She poured it. I think we ultimately decided it was way too much of a hassle for us.
I have to tell you, I have the utmost respect for someone who can sculpt it, pour it, and get the colors to turn out and not just look like someone puked in a bucket, because it is really difficult. And so, yeah, I am astounded by the kinds of effects and beautiful things you can do with your toys. They're amazing.
Oh, thank you.
So I have an idea, though, for this dragon that supposedly has eyes, and it's totally a terrible idea, but I'm the best at these. Instead of just painting the eye on the mold, you should just get googly eyes.
Oh my god, at the same time.
Pour it into the actual thing.
It would make a really great mantelpiece just with some googly eyes stuck on it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm really going to push for this dick museum idea, because I think it kind of needs to happen.
I volunteer. You can keep it at my house.
Dick museum.
Kit, the problem with keeping the dick museum at your house is that you'll never stop touching the merchandise.
I know.
But the merchandise is art.
It's great. Oh my gosh, my shop has kind of become, oh gosh, almost a dick museum, really. We built high shelves so I could put my collection around me for inspiration while I'm while I'm pouring, so it's kind of up out of the way and up toward the ceiling, and I have all of my hundreds of dicks up there looking down on me.
We are watching you.
They're always
Ash's
watching.
Personal sausage party.
My favorite party.
Ashes, do you have a favorite non-kudu sex toy?
Oh my gosh. Everybody asks me this, and it is always so hard.
It is a hard question.
But I have to say that probably I really, really like the Rudolph from Damn Average. That's got to be like one of my all-time favorites. And then I really enjoy the Tiv from Strange Bedfellows. And I've got to say that my other one that I grab like all the time is the Skull from Phoenix Flame. Those ones are like some of my favorites. I have the favorite drawer where the ones that I reach for the most always get to live. And those ones have like permanent spots in there. And in a collection of, you know, probably like, it's more probably up to like 160 by now. That's kind of a big deal when that one's like a favorite.
Yeah.
But those have got to be some of my favorites. And I really, really like the Sybil that I mentioned earlier that I have, like, way too many sizes of from New Folklore. I swear I almost have, like, one in every size. And they do more than just the normal mini, small, medium, and large. They do an array of different sizes. And so I feel like I have quite a bit of those.
Be like, today's just like a slightly few millimeter larger day.
You know, exactly. Like,
just a little bit further. You said you have like over 100 of these dildos at this point. I'm like to imagine there's like some, you know, gladiator style battle between all these dildos, like before a play session, they're trying to decide which one's going to have the glory of being the one. And
definitely, they have to fight to win my affection. It is really hard. I mean, it's a lot. And I'm like, oh, I don't know if I feel like this today or that today. And oh, gosh. But I'm also,
you know,
Lily, I like
does
to...
in that case, she grabs like six at the same time.
Just I do. I grab like six, and then it just depends on what I reach for at the particular second.
Yeah, yeah. She's not putting all six in at once. Don't worry. It's
not... I was going
to
say,
all I can think of is that one
tip my hat to you. Just get a basket and go dildo picking and pick out all the ones you want. Think you might want to use.
I think I want you. Maybe you. Not you today.
Oh gosh, yeah. It becomes kind of a feat. Oh my goodness. But and I like to think of myself as a dragon, and I can't ever get rid of any of them. So I just hoard them in one giant pile.
So, Ashes, do you have any non-sex related hobbies? I know it's hard to imagine, but I'm just curious, what other things makes the kudu tick?
Oh gosh, I have too many hobbies. Sometimes I think I have too many for my own good. So I, like I had mentioned before, I still actually do the mask making and making costumes and things like that. And they tiptoe along the line of fursuits, but not quite, since they were kind of the raw resin instead of a furred out suit, which I'm actually going to try the foam head and the furred suit. Ooh. This next time around. I've got him in the works. I'm fixing to put a mask in the mold and, you know, get moving on that. So I do love doing the costume making still. And that's still a huge thing that I do yearly. I always get one ready for this con that is nearby where I live, which there's not a lot of that near where I live. I live in like the middle of nowhere. So I still do a lot of that. Also just general art. I love to draw, and I still do a lot of marker work. I still do a lot of painting and coloring digitally and all that good stuff. So I have quite a few things that I fit into a day.
No, I also have it on good authority that you're interested in pup play. Is that right?
I sure am. I am an avid pup player. That kind of stemmed from whenever I was, you know, little. I spent like probably the first 5 years of my life thinking I was a dog, and my mom was just like, that's fine.
That's fine. I imagine that picture of like the dog sitting in the middle of the flames, like, this is fine. The kid's a dog. This is fine.
Oh yeah, it was nothing gets to my mom. My mom is fantastic. And she was just kind of like, okay, if you want to eat out of a bowl on the floor, I guess that's where we're gonna go with this.
at least she's eating.
Right? Exactly.
Parents have a hard time with that. You know, we're good there.
We had to have the whole conversation before I went to kindergarten. Like, okay, now Ashley, you can't go to school on four legs. We need to walk like a person. It was really hard. So I think that almost kind of, that's where it, the want to be like a dog. It was so fun. I didn't have to be me. I could just be a dog, and dogs don't have responsibilities or like work or dicks to make. So that's kind of carried over, and I really, really enjoy it. It's such a stress reliever for me, is just a good pup play session where I get to just lay on the floor and not have to do anything.
That sounds amazing.
Oh, it's fantastic.
I actually just got to do pup play for the first time last year at Thunder, and I'm going to be getting my first neoprene hood, I think, soon.
Oh, that's exciting. Oh, picking out the hood is the best part.
I don't think we've figured out a pup name yet.
God, I thought I had a good pup name for you.
Oh, picking your pup name is super fun.
What's your pup name?
So my pup name is Cuda, like a Hemi Barracuda, because I'm like a little car and I don't stop.
I love it.
Sounds like you might be a smaller breed. Lily's also a smaller breed.
Yeah, I think we figured out like a Pomeranian Chow mix.
Ooh, interesting. So I'm actually a Doberman. That's my choice. I felt like that was such a high energy dog, but it's strange because I'm little. Now I'm a small person, but I have a big attitude, and Brian was like, you know, I think Doberman's probably good for you.
So not even a miniature pincher, you're a full size.
Full size.
Big dog in a small package. Got
it. Exactly. Yeah. Big bark, but still kind of a chicken. Because Dobermans are still kind of chickens, contrary to popular belief.
They really are. They are chickens.
They're big old chickens. My dog is actually a Doberman, and she is a nutcase. She's the worst guard dog ever. I'm like, she would just hide the entire time we were getting robbed. She'd go outside and hide.
That's okay. Our dog probably would have just sat there and licked the person to death.
Or just peed himself.
Oh, poor baby. Oh, yeah. That'd be mine.
You'll appreciate this story, Ash. So when we had first gotten this dog, Charlie was his name. And he was a shepherd mix. And I wanted to see how he might react if Lily was put into danger. So I got this werewolf mask, and I like snuck upstairs when him and Lily were upstairs, and I like jumped through the door like in this werewolf mask, just like rawr! You know, scared the crap out of Lily. The dog
I was terrified.
The dog just ran into the corner and peed himself.
No, he jumped on the bed and peed.
Oh!
Shit, he peed on the bed? Oh, God.
Yeah, he jumped on the bed and peed and was shaking. And I'm like, that is such a great guard dog. Thank you for trying to protect
me. Thanks, Charlie. Though he did get his payback, because I had left this mask laying around like some other time, like just on the ground or something like that. The dog had come up and peed on it at some point. He's like, there, take that. Take that, you jerk.
He remembered.
So Ashes, why don't you tell us how people can find you online and partake in some of your delicious, colorful artisan dicks?
So I have a website, kuduvoodoo.net. That's where everybody can find all of my inventory, my customs. That's where it all happens. And then I'm also on all social medias. I'm on Twitter, I'm on Tumblr, and Instagram, which we try to touch into all of it, which is a chore in itself. Keeping up with social media is exhausting.
Tell
me. Understand that.
Yeah, I'm sure y'all do. But yeah, kuduvoodoo.net is where everybody can find our current models and look for things that are upcoming, which we've got a lot of stuff going on within the next couple of months, so we hope to be releasing quite a few things.
Now it's time to really embarrass ourselves, so...
Oh, you're
right. All right, so without further ado, let's enter the Define This segment. So this is the section where we attempt to define ridiculous entries from Urban Dictionary. And today, we've been given the term Slap the Ghost. Thank you very much, Darkness, again, for the suggestion.
Slap the Ghost.
So I have, of course, no idea what this really could be. I have an idea in my head that I can't get out. But would anyone like to go first?
I kind of have a crazy thing, and it's just been in my head since last night, since we looked at the word, and I can't get it out of my brain.
All right, let's go for it. What is it, Lily?
So, Slap the Ghost. I don't know if this is it. I have no idea, but I'm taking a shot in the dark here. So, you have a penis owner, and they come in a condom, and the condom's still on you, so you have the tip, and they're slapping that piece because it kind of looks like a ghost.
Listen to me, you condom. I like it.
Love it.
Oh, all right.
I couldn't get that out of my head. I don't know why.
I think that's a good guess. All right. How about ashes? You got an idea?
I do. This is so stupid. So I just, as soon as you said slap the ghost, well, first of all, I'm picturing somebody like running around in a ghost costume. So maybe it's a form of role play and you get a little frisky with like somebody dressed up like a ghost. Some ghost humiliation.
Yeah. I love that.
Ghost shaving.
I like it. I think that could be it. I definitely want to try ghost role play now.
You play ghost role play all the time with scaring the shit out of me.
Well, that's true, but I'm talking about in a sexual manner. But I don't need slap the ghost. I don't need that. I just need, like, love the ghost. Fuck the ghost.
What about you, Kit? Any ideas?
Oh, man. Well, the image that came to my head is actually pretty dark. I'm not sure what this says about me.
Do it.
I'll share it with you. So if you cut a guy's dick off and he tries to slap it anyway, that's slapping the ghost.
Oh, my God. That is so dark.
Excellent.
Oh, jeez. I love it, though. But
we should have started with her and set the bar right where I want it to be.
Gosh. Oh, my God. Detachable penis.
Oh, man. So remarkably, mine's probably one of the cleaner ideas out of all of us. I'm blown away right now. So my idea...
Wait, your brain isn't in the gutter normally?
My brain's in the gutter normally, but I don't know. Mine just that was simple. Simple-ish. You know, I was going with the idea of, like, ghost ectoplasm, and also perhaps the idea that ghost in the idea of, you know, sperm that didn't make it to its target or something like that. So I thought that's slap the ghost might be you ejaculate on someone's back end, you know, maybe make it a nice little ghost pattern, then you just give them spanks. Just spank that ghost right there.
Yeah, the one I most hope it is. Most fun.
All right, so I'm going to look it up.
Oh my goodness, moment of truth.
By the way, I'm just going to have to totally throw out this laptop after I'm done looking at all these searches. There's no going back now. I mean, you know, the NSA is watching. They're really, really concerned about what's going on here. Okay, Urban Dictionary. Oh, okay. This is actually pretty straightforward, pretty easy. None of us quite got it. Actually, I'd say Lily's probably the closest. So, slap the ghost. Masturbation. While wearing a condom.
That's it.
Oh.
That's it. Yeah.
Oh, man, we're all thinking crazy,
it's so
crazy.
But it makes sense, honey, because I'm sure that where that comes from is you have the condom on and it looks like a white ghost and you're slapping it.
Oh, okay.
Right?
We totally all thought crazy, I mean, crazy.
It makes you wonder which one of the Pac-Man ghosts it is. Is it Inky, Binky, or Clyde?
Wait, is the name Clyde?
Yeah, I think it's Inky Binky. Hold on, shit. What is this?
Is it really Clyde?
There's been different ghosts throughout the years. Yeah, Pac-Man ghost names. Hold on. Again, the podcast is off the rails. It's my favorite thing.
And so Clyde, Inky Blinky,
Inky, Blinky, Pinky, and Clyde. Oh, I my told gosh. You.
I never Clyde. Knew his name was Clyde.
Yeah,
that I mean, is crazy.
You know, Inky, Binky, Pinky, they all get along. Clyde, he's kind of the special one.
He's the last one that you can never eat. That always ends up eating yeah. you.
Sly Clyde.
Oh my god, I freaking love this.
Oh man. All right, so that's define this. If you have a good word for us to try and define, you know, go ahead and pop into our Telegram chat. You can talk to us about it. That's where darkness is. Now, Ashes, you're also in our Telegram chat.
I sure so, am.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun there. You know, come by, check us out. And I think on this note, I think we're pretty much done. I think I want to end this podcast before it gets any more out of control.
Quit while we're ahead.
I'm not even sure where ahead was. Quit before we go even further down the hole.
I think we've been down to the hole and back down.
Thank you for listening to the Trisexuals Podcast. Remember to rate us on iTunes. Tell your friends about the podcast. Join us on Twitter, Instagram, and Telegram. I'm Max Chameleon, the master of the ectoplasm orgasm.
And I'm Lily, the queen of the proton mass ejection.
And I'm Kit, the official spirit spanker.
All right, guys, bye.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks, guys.